So Brexit is in the headlines once again. Is it ever really out of the headlines? It is the issue, of course, and we should not glaze over because it is going to affect us all. New papers have been revealed which show the EU wants the UK to take full responsibility for sorting out a separate deal for Northern Ireland after Brexit. Documents say the country should find a unique solution to allow people to work on both sides of the border as well as share elements of health and education. Let me speak to Jamie, who's got his business head on this morning. Morning, Jamie.
Morning, Frank.
We're not looking for analysis of Brexit. We're just looking for facts here. I know you've never been happy since the vote went against you, but this special deal, what would that involve, this unique solution?
Well, it's not really in the nature of providing a solution. What the EU is about to do later this morning is issue a quite short paper. I think it's something like 4 pages. And essentially it's saying to the UK, look, you created this problem, you've suggested some arrangements, we don't buy into them, they won't work for us as far as we can understand them, so you really got to get back to the drawing board and come up with some proper ideas. So it's not as if we're later on this morning going to see the EU's plan, because of course we saw a version of the UK's plan last month. It's really them saying, sorry, the responsibility, the onus is on you to come up with a solution. So you couldn't be, in a sense, in a worse position. And even though, as you said, that I have, I'm very clearly, very obviously against Brexit, my position now is that we're in this, we need to get moving, we need to get on with things, we need to make the best of a bad position. And this is really not very helpful that both sides are saying, sorry, it's up to you, and well, we're doing our bit, and why are you not doing this? It's what you need is a spirit of cooperation to try and get a solution, because the reason why, of course, Northern Ireland is and Ireland as a whole is in the news as far as Brexit is because we're the people who are going to be most affected. It's not just that we pick on it because it's our concern. It is really up there, up one of those top three things that need to be sorted out, along with the divorce bill, and really, given the seriousness, given the impact on us, we have to see more progress been made.
Could it not be looked at that the UK now has more say in how the border issue is dealt with, and that's got to be good for us?
Well, it's in a way, yes, if they could come up with ideas which the Brussels could buy into. But Brussels has said, it was quite a complicated paper, and I read it, and it seemed to have some interesting ideas about how small traders, and 80% of the business north and south is done by small traders, that they were completely exempt from the new customs arrangements, whatever they would be, and they would hope they would be streamlined. But even those, it would be these small traders would not be affected by it, and essentially they wouldn't notice doing business after not going north and south after Brexit. But as far as one can see, though there might be some scope for doing something in this direction, we'll have to find out when the paper's published. But altogether, the EU is saying, sorry, these ideas that you've put forward in London are not satisfactory. We need to see something different because we have various rules on borders, and these don't seem to be in compliance with them. So we'll see. I don't want to say too much or speculate too much about what's going to be in this EU paper, but you don't produce something which is 4 pages which has got the solution. So essentially what we're likely to see from the EU later this morning is essentially sticking it back to London. Look, come up with something better.
Or giving London more scope to make decisions.
Well, it will never make decisions because the whole thing is that they're saying whatever you're going to come up with, and we are looking to you to produce some ideas, it has to be in compliance. It has to be consistent with our own rules and regulations. And so far, it would appear, they haven't been definitive of this, that they're not seeing that in the ideas coming through. So we'll find out exactly what their problem is, what their beef is, because, so as I say, some of the ideas seem quite sensible to me and seemed complicated, but presumably workable. So what is it that that it's bothering the EU. We'll find out. But I think there is no doubt that we are in a position where we're not making the progress we need. And that's right across the piece. I mean, it's not just in relation to the border. It's not just in relation to the common travel arrangements and this sort of thing. It is that the whole negotiation is going badly. And that's bad for the UK, but it's particularly bad for us.
In sorting out us, as you say, how much of a say will the Republic of Ireland have that will be separate from the rest of Europe?
Well, you see, that's a really, really good point. I mean, there has been a sort of notion that if the Republic, if Dublin is good with it, if London is good with it, Brussels will just sort of sign up to it. I just don't think that's the case. All 27 member states will have to vote on the deal. They all have an equal say whenever the deal is coming through. And if people in Estonia don't like it, well, that counts for as much as someone in Dublin. Now, I think there would be a feeling that if Dublin felt that, look, this is something that is so important to us and we believe we can make this work, that I don't think people would be silly about it. But at the same time, you're looking at countries with a lot of different priorities. And while they wouldn't deliberately want to frustrate a deal with Northern Ireland, it might, a deal between North and South, it might suit their purposes to say, we're not so happy about this, but we would be okay if you did that for us. In other words, secure something from Brussels just for their own interests. So in other words, we are quite likely to prove to be a political football. That's just the nature of politics. I mean, it wouldn't be like, well, nothing against you, but, you know, here's what we want. We want something that will suit us, and so far it's proved a bit of a sticking point in Brussels. But if you were to move in that, I think we could go ahead and vote in favour of the arrangements that Dublin and London have come up with and that you're now suggesting could be a runner. So it's bad, and you know, we're not even seeing a deal now, but the detail of a deal. But then there is the problem that in due course Brussels will have to sell that to the other states. I mean, this really couldn't be worse, you know. I mean, unless they actually, David Davis and Michel Barnier came to blows. I mean, how bad can this be that they're not making progress and they're sort of sniping at each other? You know, when really they should be sitting down, the best thing actually should be that we should know very little about this, because they're making so much progress behind closed doors and they're doing so well and they don't even have time to tell us, but really it's all working. Instead, they seem to have plenty of time to say, this is a bit of a mess, this is not working, this is not good, you're going to have to do better, oh, you're just behaving badly. You know, that really, this, you just see that the so-called mute music, it's terrible.
I'm glad that I've called you, Jimmy, and you've cheered us up no end. With regards to our own politicians, are we at a disadvantage that they're not up and running, or is it better that they're not mixing the whole thing up?
Do you know what? Would it be good that they brought their quarrel intact, their row coming in, shouting at each other as they stumble into the negotiating room in Brussels? Well, if they were going in, I mean, if they were going in with one voice and they were saying, look, we came at this from two different angles, but here is our agreed position on what we need North and South, then that would be a very positive thing. Actually, as you've sort of hinted, if they came in and they were arguing with each other and the officials from London and Brussels were saying, well, what about these guys? You know, like, you know, what is going on here? That wouldn't be very useful. And frankly, they don't have a degree position on anything. You know, they don't. Look, there's so many things they don't. This is just one extra one. In fact, I don't even know they've got round, because they're fighting and everything else, I don't even think they've got round to arguing about Brexit, apart from saying, you know, Sinn Féin, for instance, says they're totally against it and the DUP's for it. But we don't even know. If you know, please tell me. But we don't even know what is the nature of their disagreement on what might constitute the solution to the eventual arrangements that we might have.
Is it sort of handier for them all if Brexit comes and goes and they're not there to take any blame?
Well, isn't that the sort of analysis that crops up Aye, do you know what? They're ducking out of it because water charges. They're waiting for a direct rule minister, but then water charges. They're waiting for somebody else to put in a deal over Brexit. And as long as they stand aside... Oh, they're waiting also. You see this reform of Social Security. They're waiting till somebody gets that sorted out. And then they can come and say, oh, my God, look what we've got. Well, it isn't our fault, but we're going to make the best of it now. We've got... That is the constant refrain that they're happily sitting on the sidelines while somebody does the dirty work. Now, whether that's the case or not, but I just think it's trotted out so often, it can't always be the case. I do believe that they would like to do something, but they're so far apart that you wouldn't be optimistic. Although, you know, from what I was listening to your interview with Ken Reid yesterday, and I mean, it looks slightly more promising. It looks a little bit more encouraging, having said that, even if they came and they started talks and they came to some sort of solution to set up a new executive, they really would have to very quickly get a common position on the EU and get it in. Because, I mean, lots of different people are making their voice heard about it, but in reality, it's only our politicians. And I think you constantly say, these are the people we've elected. These are the people who represent us. It's not. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what the individual, even businesses, big businesses, leader. You know, what matters is what our politicians say. That's a democratic process, and they're not saying it. And of course, it's important, but it has to be a common refrain.
Jamie, remember what I said to you at the very beginning, because when you retired from being the business editor at UTV, you clearly stated your position on Brexit and you were in favour of remaining in the European Union. We seem to be on a bit of a bumpy ride at the minute, but are you prepared to accept that this bumpy ride could be taking us somewhere that's much better than where we were?
No, of course. Of course I accept. I just think it's not very likely. But look, here's my position for what it's worth. We are in the UK. We agreed that we would have a referendum on Brexit. We agreed the rules were that if you got 50% plus one, that side would win. The Brexit side won. It was a free contest. No point in complaining about all this. Misleading information about the money that would be saved and would go to the health service. That would, you know, the time to have those arguments was before the vote. The vote was lost by people who support my point of view, and now's time to get on with it. I am not saying let's rerun this. Let's have another referendum that will be totally anti-democratic. We are where we are. Let's make the best of it. It might conceivably prove a much better situation than we currently are in. I think that's not very likely, but it might. But I tell you what, we'll not make it a good thing, a good situation, a good set of circumstances unless we work them. So I'm 100% in favour of now trying to make it work.
But you've no confidence in those who are negotiating on our behalf or negotiating against us being able to make it work.
Well, I think it's really difficult, and the lack of progress is only sort of testament to that. I mean, if somebody says, you know, we're going to have great arrangements, then why are we not seeing the beginnings of them? Why are we going to see a paper which says basically, UK, get on with it? We're not seeing what we need to. Now, eventually, I think people are. It's too much is at stake for this to go on and on and on indefinitely. There will clearly have to be some form of banging heads together and some sort of deal coming. It's conceivable. So we will get a deal. I don't think we'll stumble out without some sort of arrangement. I mean, more than likely, what will happen is that we will move into an agreed transition. So after 2019, maybe for 2-3 years, that we will continue, possibly actually not very different from what we are. So we're pushing it. But at a certain point, once you're out, unless collectively everybody says, even the people who are hardened Brexiteers say, do you know what, this is a mess, let's forget all about it, let's stay in. But the reality is the most realistic, the most sensible expectation is that eventually, maybe 4 years from now, we are out. We are out of the customs union, we're out of the single market, but we really need a deal that is going to secure maybe, as you've hinted there, maybe something that actually is better than what we've got. I think it's to say unlikely, but you know, but we certainly need a deal, and we really can't afford to waste more time in sort of, you know, posturing and arguing. People need to get down to work and come up with solutions. And look, they're highly paid negotiators. They really need to produce something, produce the goods sooner rather than later.
Okay, Jamie DeLargy, thank you very much. And your opinion, very welcome as well. 90 333 105.